So let me start off today by simply saying to all our moms, Happy Mother's Day. We are forever thankful for your presence in our life. I mean, all of us are. We're thankful for all the time that you poured in, all the care that you poured in, all the tears that you've cried with us. I mean, everything. We're so thankful for who you are. So thank you in a very special way. And for the rest of us, let's give them an applause, right? So just thank you, moms. So today we're going to start a new series, and it applies to moms, but it applies to all of us as well. A new series, When Things Do Not Go According to Plan. Does that happen to anybody here? Anybody? No? Okay. Is this my family then? So when things don't go according to plan, one of the biggest things that we are challenged with is this idea of patience. And it's actually a big theme as we go through this series, but this idea of patience is something that I want to talk about a little bit today. I want to talk about how do you develop more patience in our lives? Because I think it's a big thing. Because I think to a large degree, how we deal with the irritations of life is a great test of our faith. It's a great test of how we trust God. It's a great test of how we trust His promises. Because I want you to think about the times that we have to be patient. We're patient almost always in the in-between, aren't we? That person's being annoying. They haven't stopped being annoying yet. We need patience, right? Things are not going according to plan. Things have not gotten right yet, so we need to have patience. We need patience in that in-between. And in that in-between, we need to trust that God still got us. And in that in-between, we need to trust that He's still there. And in that in-between, we need to trust that He's still working behind the scenes. In that in-between, it's an amazing test of, do we trust God? Or are we going to try to take control and worry and stew and fret and fear and all that kind of stuff and cycle out and spin out all by ourselves? In Proverbs 16:32, then, it says, it is better to be patient than powerful. It is better to win control over yourselves than of whole cities. I saw a card the other day that said, a man without patience is like a car without brakes. And I think that's true, isn't it? Because if you don't have patience, you are literally out of control. There's nothing breaking your reactions. There's nothing breaking your words. There's nothing breaking you from spiraling out. Proverbs 19:2 says, impatience then will always get you into trouble. And I think we've seen that. We could all testify to that in our lives. And so what exactly is the secret of learning patience? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. The first answer to that is simply this, that you cooperate with God. Because as you learn patience, what you have to realize is that God's got His part and we got our part. God is so faithful to His part. So let me talk about that for a second. God's part is to provide the circumstances. God is super faithful in providing the circumstances. Our part, right, is to provide the right response. God's part is to provide the events. Again, super faithful in providing those events. Your part is to provide the right attitudes. So God wants to teach you patience, and as He does, He provides situations, and you provide the right reactions. God is good and usually provides these kind of tests or these kind of opportunities for us to learn patience in our life. And He does it in three, I think, just varied ways, but we all recognize these ways in our life. And they all test our patience in ways that, man, we're not very good at because we tend to lose control. We can say things we shouldn't. We just don't show the patience in those right times. And so, first of all, I'm just going to share with you God's part, His faithfulness in providing the situations, and you'll recognize them again. One of the first tests that God allows us and one of the first opportunities He gives us to teach us patience is this whole thing called interruptions. How many of you guys like interruptions? What? It's crazy. Just a couple people, right? We talked about this last week. We usually don't. Have you ever sat down to dinner and the phone rings? Have you ever been in the bathtub or the shower and somebody knocks at the door? Have you ever been working on a deadline and visitors show up unexpectedly? I don't have time for you, yet you're here. Great. At work, do you ever feel like you have so many interruptions that you say, I don't think I got anything done today? Have you ever felt like that? I ask that because these are opportunities, God says, to show patience. Brahms, the guy who wrote the famous lullaby, I guess because of interruptions, took 7 years to complete the lullaby. Apparently, the story goes he kept falling asleep, you know, as he was writing it. Again, even Jesus, as we look to the Bible, had tons of interruptions as he went through his ministry. One day, there was a bunch of little kids coming to him. They just wanted to hang out with Jesus. They wanted to give him high fives. They wanted to sit down at his feet. They wanted him to tell them a story, all those kind of different things. But he was busy, and the disciples kind of got ticked off that they were bothering Jesus so much. So they said to the kids, Jesus doesn't have time for little children. Get out of here. And in a slight paraphrase, I'll just say, Jesus said, hey, guys, chill out. Chill out, disciples. You need to learn that sometimes some interruptions in your life are divinely planned so that you can learn patience. When I was first in ministry, I was talking to this old pastor, and he said, you know, I used to bemoan the interruptions in my ministry until one day I realized that was the ministry. I want you to think about the interruptions that you so often get. They're interruptions that provide you opportunities to care, to love on somebody, to listen, to support, to give guidance to. It's really in those interruptions so often that we experience life, if we let it, or we hurt hearts, or we hurt feelings, or we do the opposite. God gives us other opportunities as well. You'll recognize these too. Irritations and inconveniences. Good example of this is Mary and Martha in the Bible, right? Jesus came to town. Mary and Martha were there. They got all excited that he was there. Martha started cooking lunch. She was so excited about it. Jesus was here. She was cooking her Lord lunch, and Mary was listening to Jesus. And she got a little ticked after a little bit. Why aren't you helping me out with lunch? You're not helping me out. We're feeding all these people. Think the 12 disciples plus whoever else was there. All these people, I need your help. So she went to Jesus and she started complaining. I think usually the things that irritate us the most is when other people are not fulfilling what we consider their fair share of the responsibility. My kids, just the other day, were talking about somebody that they were swimming with in practice, and they weren't giving full effort, and they talked about how annoyed they were. And I said, why are you so annoyed? It hasn't had anything to do with you. She says, Dad, you have to understand, swim's really hard. Like, you want to give up the whole time. Like, you don't want to keep pushing. You don't want to keep going. It is hard stuff. It's not like it's baseball, you know, which is what I played, so they knocked me. So it's just a hard thing. And so when you see one of your peers stop, everything in you wants to stop with them. It's a demotivator. And it's not just me. Everybody gets mad at the people that don't give full effort because it's hard. Life's hard. Fair? And when we need or want to count on somebody and they don't show up, we get frustrated. We just do. Americans are less and less tolerant with inconveniences, I think, as a result. Chrysler did a study one time and discovered that the number one gripe of American consumers is inconvenience. We don't like to be inconvenienced. We like everything to go smoothly. And when they don't, we get pretty frustrated with life. We get pretty impatient with life. Think things like this: auto repair. Think traffic jam. Think waiting for a person for over an hour. I don't know what your rule is with waiting on people. Is it 15 minutes? Is it a half hour? Do you wait the whole hour? I mean, some of us have rules on how long we'll wait. It's frustrating when we're waiting for a doctor. It's frustrating when we're waiting for a friend. Think your husband called and invited some people home for dinner tonight, and it's the last minute. We don't like to be inconvenienced. And then there's one more thing. Inactivity. You've prayed for him to fix the situation. Nothing happens. You're in the in-between. It's not that God says no. It's not that he's turned his back. It's not like he wasn't listening. You're just in the in-between. And it takes time to develop this thing called patience. I saw a sign the other day that says patience carries a lot of weight to it. It does. We don't like to wait. Most Americans would rather do anything in the world but wait. And as a result, we don't know how to sit still. We're geared for life in the fast lane. I wrote down some things just to kind of action verbs that describe our lives in some pretty typical ways. You leap out of bed in the morning. You zip in and out of the shower. You bolt down your breakfast. You gulp down your coffee. You rush off to work. You run through your schedule in a staff meeting. Your boss tells you to hustle on that sale. Get it in gear regarding those changes you're supposed to make. Step on it, completing that project. Scramble to close the deal. Her closing words are, get the lead out of your pants. So you dash to lunch, wolf down a sandwich, hurry back to the office, or you rip through some emails, whip through a stack of return phone calls, get cracking on those assignments you intended to finish up yesterday. At 5, you hot-foot it out of there, race home to dinner in rush hour traffic, and finally, you dart in the door and drop dead. And at night, you pray to God, God, give me patience, but hurry up, I need it now. Problem is, we weren't made to live this kind of hurry and worry lifestyle. But that's where we are, so many of us. Even right now, we're in that taxi cab stage of being a parent, right? We're running here, and we're running there, and we're running over here. We praise God when one of our kids got a license. It just took out a whole segment of stuff that we were running to do. It seems like we're busy from the morning to the evening, and then we're just like, whew, it's time to go to bed. The next morning, we're doing it all again. It's hard. And it's not just that. It's people of all stages of life. They've got their own things. They're rushing, it seems like, continually through their life. They're not smelling the roses as they're going. They're just going from one thing to the next. But God never meant for us to live that kind of hurry and worry life. So even now, in these modern days, he created some things to test our patience, to slow us down. Things like traffic jams and lines at the DMV and doctor's offices. I read you will actually spend 6 months of your life waiting at red lights. It's going to be way longer for me because there's a light by our house. It's like 10 minutes long. I don't know. But how do you handle it when you're at the red light? How do you handle it in those waits of life? Have you ever watched people in the elevators? You can actually learn a lot about human nature in elevators. I was just kind of taking some notes the other day, but there's bouncers in the elevators, there's swayers, there's rockers, there's pushers. You know, you keep pushing the button like somehow that's going to make it go faster. I don't know. Some people talk to you, almost nobody talks to you, right? Some people make eye contact, almost nobody makes eye contact. But nobody stands in an elevator patiently. Everybody moves. Why? We don't really know how to sit still. So how do you deal with patience when God provides these opportunities to you? These in-between moments of your life. And sometimes these in-betweens last for an afternoon. Sometimes they last for years. How do you react when you have these inconveniences and these irritations and these interruptions and these inactivities? God says you need to respond, learn to respond in the right way with the right attitude. And what does that look like? In Scripture, he says it looks like these four things. These are the secrets to implementing more patience in your life. Rule number one, don't ask for more patience, right? God will give you more opportunities. You don't want that. You want to learn to implement patience in the opportunities you already have. But one of the first things that Scripture says to deal with this is we've got to develop a bigger perspective in life. In other words, you got to learn to see things from somebody else's point of view, not just your own. You need to see things from a larger viewpoint. Because there's always more than one way to look at something. You're driving down the freeway and somebody cuts you off and immediately you get frustrated and immediately you get mad and immediately you're tempted to wave at them with less than five fingers. Not you guys, other people, right? But the reality is you're frustrated. Would it make a difference if you knew that the husband was rushing his wife to the hospital because she just broke water or because she was bleeding out or something that was happening in their life that kind of necessitated them hurrying? You may still be frustrated that they cut you off, but maybe that understanding would take away some of the anger, some of the rage. See, patience begins by changing the way that you think about the situation. In Proverbs 19:11, it says, "A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense." But so often it's the perspective that allows us to overlook the offense, understanding more of what's going on in the situation, not taking everything so seriously, so personally. Wisdom gives you patience so that when you're facing all these things, you don't get uptight when irritations and inconveniences come. Because when you or I am impatient, here's the crazy thing that's happening. All you're thinking about is yourself in that moment. I mean, I couldn't care less about the clerk and the kind of day he's having, to be honest. All I'm thinking about is my time and my needs and my schedule and my inconvenience, my hurts. I don't see you when I'm frustrated, I see me. It kind of as a way to prepare for this whole idea of patience, I wrote down a bunch of my pet peeves, so I'll just share some of them with you. Getting bumped from an airline due to overbooking, I don't like that. Clutter, I don't like that. Fast food clerks that don't understand English, especially as the drive-thru, that's very frustrating. Stores that don't open until 10 o'clock, when my wife doesn't reset the seat in my car after driving it and it hits my knees, I hate that. When the kids leave the lights on all over the house and they're not in the room, actually they're even gone from the house, I don't like that. My worst one, people being late, hence I have rules for how long I wait, you know, it's just crazy. But I share all those because in all of those, who am I thinking about? Me. When you're having a pet peeve, most of the time, all you're looking at is yourself. What's it going to do for me? How is it inconveniencing me? So the first thing, if you're going to be patient, is you have to get a bigger perspective on life. The secret of being a successful partner to your mate is learning to see from your spouse's point of view. The secret of being a successful parent is learning to see things from your child's point of view. The secret of being a successful businessman is to see things from your customer's point of view. The secret of being a successful employer is to see things from your employee's point of view. Point is, patience starts with wisdom. Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view, from other people's point of view. And if you want to be patient, you just got to get the larger perspective. One of the most helpful things is what's going on in your life right now that's causing this frustration. So when my And it's hard to imagine my wife ever being less than patient with me. I know that's true. But the reality is, when she's having one of those days, I ask, hey, how was your day? You know, give me some understanding of what's been going on. And it helps me not overreact, and it helps me not kind of give back in kind. It just helps me kind of understand what's been going on. And it changes the perspective, and it changes the way you deal with it, and it changes your frustration. Truth is, life is not going to end because of this little irritation or inconvenience. In Proverbs 14:29, it says, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays his folly. Truth is, you're human. Everybody else is human, too. Truth is, you make mistakes. Everybody else is going to make mistakes, too. So don't be surprised by it. Don't be shocked by it. You need to learn to go with the flow a little bit. There's this axiom, if you can't fight it and you can't flee from it, you need to learn to flow with it. It's just life. And you do that by getting a bigger perspective. A man of patience has great understanding, the Bible says. A man of patience, or patience is a mark of maturity, God says. I think that's true. Babies have no patience whatsoever. I want it, and I want it now. If you don't give it to me, I'm going to cry about it. Do you know any adults like that? Probably too many. A mature person can be judged by how long they can wait and that in between. How long they can keep trusting God. How long they can experience peace and hope. A mature person continues to look to God and continues to seek that bigger understanding, that bigger perspective as they go through life. And it's hard, but that's what helps us be patient. Scripture goes on, there's another huge one, and it's this. We need to learn to develop a sense of humor. We just do. We need to learn to laugh more at ourselves. Stop taking ourselves so seriously. When we're taking ourselves so seriously, who are we looking at? Us. We also need to learn to laugh at situations. When I pull up to that traffic light by my house, I'll either laugh or cry at this point. It's just so long, you know. But I don't get frustrated anymore. I just know what is, and I don't know why I can never hit the green light. I don't know if the green light exists, except after I wait, but I just start laughing. I hit it again. I got to figure out how to go a different way. That's what I keep saying. But you need to find the fun in the frustration. In Proverbs 14:30, it says, a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Humor is a tension dissolver. It just is. It's an antidote to anxiety. Studies have shown that people who laugh actually live longer. It's kind of like a shock absorber for the stresses of life. Abraham Lincoln once said that he would never have made it through the Civil War, which is admittedly a very stressful time in our country, if he couldn't have handled the daily stresses with laughter. Truth is, sometimes you're either going to laugh or you're going to cry at a situation. God says, learn to laugh about it. The Bible teaches that if you can laugh at it, you can live with it. You just need to learn to laugh at things that irritate you, that frustrate you. Because if you can learn to laugh at the irritations in life, you'll never stop laughing, because there's always stuff out there. Next one is something we talk about a lot. It's just because we live in a culture that seems to be, I don't know, growing colder and colder with our hearts toward other people, toward the world around us. I think there's a lot of things that contribute to that, but it's harder for us to love our neighbor. It's harder for us to love people who disagree with us. I think that's just true. And so the third thing is we need to learn to deepen our love, to put more people in the circle, people we actually care about, actually love. 1 Corinthians 13:4, then when he's talking about love, what's the first thing he says? Love is patient. When I'm impatient, I'm usually being unloving. When you love somebody, you think about their needs. Think about the first time you dated anybody. Like, you were just in love, right? You didn't, oh, I just love them so much. I mean, you didn't see any of the things. It was all about them. You were so excited. When you're filled with love, almost nothing will irritate you. When you're filled with anger and focused solely on yourself, almost everything will irritate you. To be fair, it's always what's inside that matters. Impatience always says more about us than it does about the other people. So you need to say, Lord, help me love that person. So think about that person who's heavenly sandpaper in your life right now, who irritates you almost nonstop. You need to pray for them this week. Lord, help me. Help me love this person. Help me to understand them. Give me a bigger perspective of what's going on in their life. And give me a sense of humor about it so I don't get so frustrated all the time. Help me love them more. When you do these things, I promise you, you'll find it easier to be patient with even the difficult people around you. And then finally, there's this last one, and it's sort of a big one. When all three of these fall short, there's this. Depend on Jesus' power. In Colossians 1:11, this is why I share this, it says, may he strengthen you in his glorious might with ample power to meet whatever comes with fortitude, patience, and joy. You can pray that prayer, right? That Christ will strengthen you in his glorious might with power to give you fortitude, patience, and joy. He's saying that patience is not always a matter of human will. I'm going to be patient if it kills me, we say. But the reality is that some people just irritate you, right? I mean, they just do. And so what do you do when they catch you off guard? What do you do when you're just having an off day and you don't have the resources to pull that other perspective out? What do? You pray. God, give me the power. And you'll get fortitude, patience, and joy, he says. You start asking, why, Pastor, did you spend all Sunday morning talking about patience? Because patience is really a form of faith, isn't it? It's in that in-between that we're trusting him, trusting him that eventually this situation will change, trusting him that eventually this will happen and resolve the situation that we got, trusting that eventually we get healed, trusting that he's got us in the midst of whatever it is that we're going through, trusting that he's there, trusting that he's working behind the scenes for our good. It's always a test of our faith. It reveals our faith. In fact, the Bible is filled with examples of people who had to wait. Noah had to wait 120 years before the boat started floating, right? Before it started raining. Abraham had to wait almost 90 plus years to get the child of promise that he was promised. Moses had to wait 40 years in the wilderness. All of God's great saints seemed like they had to go through a season or through a school of waiting. And guess what? So do we. Again, why did I spend all of Sunday morning talking about patience? Because the reality is I don't really care what you say on Sunday morning about being a Christian, about being a believer, about loving God. The acid test of your faith is how do you handle the irritations and the inconveniences and the interruptions and the inactivities of life Monday through Saturday? How do you show that you trust God? He's real. He's made these promises to you that are ironclad. Do people see your trust in him? Do they see your behavior change because of him? Do you find your strength in him? I mean, what do people see? Because the reality is that your attitude always reveals who's in control of your life. And it can reveal heart issues. Like, it can reveal a heart for Jesus. It can reveal your hope in heaven. It can reveal your joy in being forgiven, your amazement at his grace, your strength that he has given to you to deal with the difficulties of life. It's just different than the world's. Or it can show nothing. It's those former things, I think, in the end, that really is what it looks like to be a disciple, isn't it? To let the world see the reality of Jesus through us. To let them see our hope. To let them experience his love, his care. To be that light in the midst of the darkness. I'm telling you, not only does the patience thing help us, it gives us peace and strength and joy to live life differently than always being annoyed and irritated. It's amazing what it gives to us. But it blows us away at the kind of testimony it gives to the world. Everybody else is a jerk. Why are you loving me? Why are you giving me patience? Why are you giving me slack? Why do you want to know how my day is? It's just different. So my encouragement is go be God's disciples. Trust in him every second of the day. He's got you, and he loves you more than you can comprehend. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. God, we love you so much. And you know, as we go through this series, it's challenging, not because the ideas are too tricky for us, but because life doesn't go according to plan. And we do get frustrated, and we do lose some of our zip when things take a long time to be answered. And we do lose a little bit of our zip when the irritations continue. Father, so much of our frustration is not rejoicing in the 90% of stuff that you answer right away, yes. It's in that 10% that you say, wait, or it's in those experience or those opportunities that you allow us to grow our trust in you. So our prayer today is that you would give us peace that comes from trusting you, that you'd give us strength, again, that comes from trusting you, that you would give us hope for a better tomorrow, that again comes from knowing that you've got not only today but our future in your hands, that you'd give us more and more of this trust so that we can experience the good things that you promise us in Scripture and so that the world can see Jesus through us. And that's our prayer today. We pray it in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.